This podcast features adults using adult language. You've been warned. Hi, this is Ursangus, and welcome to the Battle Res Bears Episode 2. My name is Ursangus. Y'all should have known me from the previous two episodes, including one that isn't really a number. It's episode zero.
That's our
this
pilot.
Is episode two, where we're going to be covering raid leaders. And I've got with me Moo. How are you doing,
How's it going? I'm good. You?
And, yeah, I can't watch NFL right now, and it's kind of pissing me off, not going to lie.
Not much of a loss.
No. So, anyway... guys, this is going to be a very long topic, so we're just going to hop right into it. What we're going to cover today, honestly, is raid leaders and some of the things that you, as a raid leader, should be aware of if you're starting up a team or if you currently own a team or run a team. So, this is going to be a long one. There are a lot of bullet points to go over here. We're going to start off with obligations to the team. So really, the rundown of a raid leader is you are in charge of this team now. Every success, every failure, you will be directly tied to. You have a long list of responsibilities on this, but it's totally worth it if you succeed on it. Isn't that right, Moo?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, honestly, for the most part, the raid leader is the key to success. You know, you can have your team, you know, running like a well-oiled machine, or you can try herding cats. It's it's entirely up to you as to how the team operates.
Yes, and honestly, a lot of what we'll be going over is, you know, because I raided back when there were still 40-man teams back in vanilla. And again,
here
you
we
know,
go again.
Yeah, because I just told you I raided in vanilla. 40-man teams. You can take everything we talk about today and just it goes even further because you're trying to organize 40 people instead of 10 or 25.
Which, I mean, so, depending on your team, you may get to experience some of that since, you know, normal and heroic rating does go up to 30 players. So
indeed. And honestly, a lot of what we'll be talking about here will also apply to co-raid leaders. Because there are teams that actually have co-raid leads. It's not a bad idea, necessarily.
You can look at them more like an assistant coach or just a backup, you know, just in case, yep. You know, real life comes up and bites the raid leader in the rear. Somebody is there able and willing to take over and get things rolling.
Indeed. So let's start off with qualifications. You, as the raid lead... are going to be directing this raid team. So it might come in handy if you know the fights that you're trying to do for your content level.
Yeah, just a little useful.
just a bit. So when it comes to qualifications like that, you're going to be looking at videos. You're going to be looking at raid comps. You're going to be looking at cooldowns. You're honestly going to have your fingers in just about every single aspect of the team itself. Unless you delegate that, of course, to a co-raid lead. And delegation is something we probably should have added to the show notes on this one.
Well, delegation is going to be pretty much, you know, popping up in just about everything that we talk about. Because honestly, you can have it set up, and I've seen it, you know, just the raid leader does everything, which is fine if the person's good at multitasking and paying attention to everything. Or you can set up stuff like, okay, well, I'm going to do the major call-outs, but... this person here is going to be in charge of, you know, the healing cooldowns. This person here is going to be in charge of, you know, DPS rotation, or interrupt rotations, you know, so on and so forth. So that's an example of delegation. That way the raid leader doesn't have to do everything themselves.
Right, because they're also going to be the ones who are working on positioning and honestly the general strategy when it comes to that. So there are going to be cases where a raid member may have a question, but the raid lead is too busy setting up something like Exorcist raid tools, range positioning, stuff like that. So that will be a thing at some point.
Yes. And honestly, so, delegation is great for the newer raid leaders. You know, don't try to do everything yourself.
Oh, no. No, it honestly, if you're forming a new raid team and you are a new raid leader, having somebody on the team who's led raids in the past is exponentially valuable. It is so incredibly valuable to have a veteran, or at least somebody who's, you know, led a couple raids.
Yeah.
But honestly, that's what this podcast is here for, because Moo and I have both led a number of raid teams.
Really?
What? Oh, wait. I lost track between Burning Crusade and current Warlords of Draenor. I have lost track of how many raid teams I have led. I think it's somewhere in the neighborhood of 25 or 6.
I'm not sure if I'm up quite that high, but I know it's been several. I know because I was raiding and doing most of the raid leading in Kata on about 5 different tunes, and then again in Siege of Orgrimmar. So.
Mm-hmm. So honestly, one of the key things you can run across on this, as far as going into a brand new team and leading a brand new team, is your attitude. Now, this is going to change depending on what level of content you're going for. If you're normal and your team is kind of casual, then you're going to have a kind of casual and friendly attitude. If you're going for hardcore world first mythic, you're probably going to be a drill sergeant.
No joking allowed.
No joking allowed. If you're pulling, you're shutting up. But it varies. It varies. I mean, it really does. It depends on your level of rating. So the main thing to keep in mind is keep it friendly and have a good attitude going in. And we'll loop back around to parting of part of how to maintain that good attitude later on in the episode here.
Yes.
Now, as far as resources go, there are a shitload, I mean, just a ton of external tools available to you. Things like Warcraft logs, things like FatBoss, for raid strategies. There are so many different tools out there available for anybody who wants to start up a team and how to run it smoothly as far as strategies go. Personally, I'm a fan of Exorcist Raid Tools. That's Exorcus. I just ran across it recently in Warlords, and since I've installed it, I don't know what I could do without it. For those of you who are unfamiliar with it, it actually keeps track of things like how long until you can battle res next, who has what cooldowns available. And as far as organizing when to blow healing cooldowns and damage mitigation cooldowns, this thing is fantastic for that, especially as a raid lead if you're calling it all out.
Yes, and it also has other tools for planning on strategies. For example, in Blackrock Foundry, you've got a Chromog. These little runes pop up and you have to, go to hands in order to avoid getting tossed up in the air. So it has this nifty little map you can click on. You can assign people certain spots. That way two people aren't trying to fight over the same thing and somebody dies.
It comes in handy, and it sounds like it's not much, but once you get it, it'll make your job as a raid lead 10 times easier. It's really one of the best tools out there right now. And there's other things you can do as far as I'm a big fan of LVOI's raid windows. It does a really good job of keeping everything kind of separate off to the side, because as a tank, I don't really have to worry about the rest of the raid most of the time, so long as they're not standing in front of the boss or standing next to me. Deadly Bossmons has a great rangefinder that comes in extremely handy, especially in HFC, I've noticed. There are a lot of fights where you're going to need to be anywhere between 4 to 10 yards away from the person next to you. Slash range, and then the number, 10 yards, 12 yards, 25 yards, comes in extremely handy. And I would urge you to actually, even as a raid member or a raid lead, keep that up at all times.
Yes, and Deadly Bossmons also has this neat little feature. If there's an ability that has to be interrupted, you can actually assign people into DBM, and you can do multiple people, so it'll show, okay, he's casting this person, he's interrupt. He's casting this person, he's interrupt. And so it's a lot easier, so you're not having to constantly try to remember, all right, whose order is it? Whose turn is it? DBM will tell you.
See, that's one I didn't know about. That's pretty cool. I got to admit, that's pretty damn cool.
The only downside to that is there's not a feature yet to where the raid leader can input it and then it goes out to the rest of the raid. You have to set it up individually, but it's still super easy to do in the options menu.
Cool. Cool. So resources are all over the place. MMO Champions got a few here and there, but as far as Fat Boss guides, your videos, your strats, Icy Veins is another good one. There are a ton, I mean, just so many different resources available to you strategy-wise. There's not much out there as far as what makes a good raid leader because it's so variable depending on the team. I mean, I haven't really looked for anything. Not gonna lie, but I don't think there's that many out there because it is entirely dependent on the team and who it consists of.
That and the goals of the team. If all you want to do is raid and normals is fine for you, then you know the way you set things up is probably gonna be different than somebody who wants to push a little bit harder and you know do a heroic team or even upgrading to mythic eventually.
Yeah. It varies. So the next thing, honestly, I kind of want to cover here as far as we kind of touched on communication/coordination. I think it was in episode 0, if I remember correctly. But when it comes to directing your team, you have to be very clear on what you're after as far as this particular boss. And honestly, even extending on to for the team, what are the goals for this? And I recently joined a team not that long ago, and that was one of the first questions that he asked during the tryout. It says, what do you have planned for this character? Do you want to hit ahead of the curve before Christmas? Do you just want to, set hands on a mythic boss? What do you want to do with this? And he, him and I chat for a little bit via Skype and then via Mumble. And it matched up pretty well. Be super clear about what the team's goals are, because if you're not and you decide, okay, we're not going to do Mythic for this particular expansion. If you're not clear on the goals, you're going to have people leave because they thought this was going to be a Mythic team or they thought this was going to be a heroic team or they thought they could bring in an alt. Be clear on what this team's goals are and some of the requirements, especially when it comes to attendance. It's one of the most overlooked things, and it's insane. I mean, Moo, you've run across this recently.
Oh, yeah. Attendance boss is probably the worst boss of every raid team. And it varies, again, depending on the type of team you got. Is it, more casual atmospheres, people have fun with it? Is it more hardcore, people get burned out on it? There's a lot of things. Plus, of course, you got to take into the factor of real life happens. Something changes in their life, new job, something can cause changes in that, but you've got to set your expectations for attendance. I know there's a lot of teams that say, all right, well, you're allowed to miss 2 raids with no notice before you're benched or whatever, kind of a cause and effect thing. And of course, if it's a constant, I can't make it next week because of this, then that could possibly get you benched also. But, and again, that's going to vary per raid team, based on your size. Cause attendance is going to hit, smaller raid teams harder than it is larger raid teams. For example, just this morning, my raid team, we had, several people missing and we had to go to the raid finder to pick up just to fill in 10, 10 people. Yeah, and some of these bosses are not kind to 10-man raids.
No, not in the least, especially if this is going to be a progression fight for you.
Right. So, unfortunately, you've got to plan, know what you're going to do when you have people out. You have to have a plan set in place. Do you have friends on that can come in and fill in a spot, or are you going to downgrade and run LFRs for people who still need stuff for the ring, whatever, or whatever's going on in that expansion? You just got to definitely plan for people to be out.
Right. And honestly, we're still within the vein of clear communication on this. Now, when it comes to that that is, communication is a two-way street. You, what part of what you need to encourage in your raid team is clear communication. If somebody is going to be out, they need to feel free to tell you that, and you need to be open to that message. Encouraging open communication from your raid members, I is a bitch. I'm not going to lie, because Moo and I both, technically lead a raid team of about 25 or so right now through, and it's not really a raid team, but a group of individuals, about 20 to 25 on any given day. And getting them to openly communicate with you about issues, I've been doing it for about a year now, and it's a bitch.
Yeah.
No matter how many times you say your door is open, getting people to come to you with issues can be a big hassle. And maybe I'm the only one who has a problem with this. But, Moo, have you ever had problems with somebody, entering your open office door, as it was?
No. Very rarely do I get anybody to come up unless, they're having an issue with somebody else. And then they'll come to me.
But, oh, yeah.
Their own issues, no, they don't.
Hmm. So it's... To expect it is fine, but you're not always going to get it. You do want to try to encourage everybody to come to you with any issues, especially as far as attendance, or we're going to have probably an entire episode dedicated to it, but loot drama.
Yeah. Yeah.
That has a very, very, very hefty effect on your raid team's morale. Really. And that's what something we will go into at one point, is how to redirect that to where it doesn't affect directly the morale of the team.
Yeah.
So that's really, be clear, cut and dry on what the expectations are. And part of that is, the follow through on that is, for people who don't meet the expectations, you might want to consider talking to them. And if they're still not performing at the level you want them to at some point, you're going to have a very difficult conversation. Part of being a leader is going through analyzation, and you will actually have to look at yourself at this too. Just because you're a raid leader doesn't mean that you're exempt from the performance. In fact, I dare say that you are in a spotlight when it comes to performance.
You should be the example, not the exception.
Right. Right, exactly. If three people are standing in fire when they're not supposed to, you can't very well come down those people doing for that if you're actually standing in fire 50% of the time.
Right.
You have to be a shining example. So you have to be one of the key, raiders in the raid team. And honestly, that kind of comes with knowing the fight as well and qualifications. But it is absolutely key that you be one of the star players. It's honestly should be, well, speaking from personal preference, and I completely lost where I was going with that.
If you're not the top in the role that you're performing, whether it be if you're raid leading as a DPS, if you're not leading the DPS, not necessarily in damage, but in survival, in positioning, in mechanics, then you need to take a look at yourself. Same with, is a healer. Are you focusing too much here or not here? Well, okay. Well, people are going to be guiding off of you. So if you're, focusing on one thing and not paying attention to another, they're going to be doing the same thing.
Yep. So I actually remember where I was going with that. If you are a top player in your raid, then a lot of what you'll be doing, and especially if you know the fights, a lot of what you'll be doing is going to be muscle memory, and you will do very well. And actually that will free up a lot of your attention to managing the raid team and making sure it's performing as well as it could. Backtracking on that one. So yay, Ersengus made a point.
Hooray. Now, if we can just work on his memory.
Yeah. Memory's not the greatest. There's a number of times I'll end up in Stormshield going, what? Why am I in Stormshield? What was I doing here? Then I'll go back to my garrison and then go, oh, shit, now I remember why I was in Storm Shield. And I'll get Storm Shield again and forget again.
Yep.
It's like going to the grocery store for one thing and then walking out with everything but that one thing.
Yep.
That happens a lot. So anyway, so part of I know we kind of we touched on it very briefly a second ago, but as far as input from raid members, and I think we kind of touched on it when we talked very briefly about loot drama. No raid team that I have ever been a part of or led has been free from drama, be it over loot or, you know, personal drama. There are people behind the characters. There's going to be drama. And should you run your raid team like a business? Eh, not necessarily. Is it really, that's going to go back to what level of content you're going to be looking at. Personally, I've had a lot of success with it's casual up until you start pulling, and then it's business. It works well. There are some teams who are just constantly business for 4 hours at a time. If it works, it works. Everybody's kind of got their different approach to it.
It wouldn't work for me.
Say what?
I said that wouldn't work for me.
No, that wouldn't work for me either.
I'm more the one that's, hey, people are joking. Let's pull everything.
Right.
See how well they react.
Get your attention.
Yeah.
So controlling raid member input. When drama does rear its ugly head. This is something I learned kind of as an officer for the guild. Is when it comes to a volatile situation kind of coming to a head, take it out of public light. If you have a separate channel available to you in Mumble or Ventrilo or whatever, you know, whatever form of communication you're using, take it there. The amount of damage that can be done over loot drama when it's held in a public forum with all of the raid team members can be catastrophic. You will see, honestly, I've seen well over half the raid teams I've been on disband because of exactly that.
Mm.
Where somebody gets, you know, all bent out of shape about a particular piece of loot. And then because nobody thought to take it off to another channel, the entire raid team is now involved and taking sides. You do not want to polarize your raid team. It's a team. It's not the Senate. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you absolutely do not want to polarize that. Now, when I say controlling raid member input, you can't actually control any of that, but you can make some suggestions.
Yeah,
you can't force people to go to other channels. It helps. And you can definitely strongly advise against bringing this to a public forum. But truthfully, people are people and they will do what they want.
Yeah. A suggestion on that also is, you know, be the mediator. Don't pick sides yourself. You know, even if you feel strongly for, you know, one person getting something over another, look at both sides. Be neutral as much as possible, because the more neutral you are, you know, the more fair you can be, the more other people can, you know, see that and try to be neutral as well.
That's true. And what's worked well for me in the past is when loot drama is unavoidable, you're going to run across it. Even with something like personal loot, you're going to have somebody who feels that it shouldn't be personal loot and that they should get priority because they're a tank. Well, personal drama or personal loot is supposed to get rid of all loot drama. It doesn't. There is always going to be an exception to the rule. You will deal with loot drama at some point. As a raid leader, one of your obligations to the team is to be able to recognize when it's going to occur. And honestly, at that point, it's damage control.
Yeah.
And part of the way to prevent that, going back to one of our previous points, is being clear in communication. So you can minimize the amount of effect that loot drama does have on your raid team. You have to be prepped for it. It's going to happen. And I'm going to say this again and again. Loot drama is going to happen. In case you didn't hear me, loot drama is going to happen. All right, let's move on.
Have you ever heard of loot drama?
I have not. What is loot drama?
All right.
So moving on. Negative versus positive reinforcement. This is not exclusive to raid teams. Not even close. Positive reinforcement is usually, at least in my experience, has been the way to go. Negative reinforcement is where you just yell and yell and yell and berate somebody for having poor performance or for whatever reason you're yelling at them for. Yelling is not necessarily, at least in my case, not the best way to go about things. Very few people have heard angry Ursangus for a reason. A, he's scary. And B, it usually doesn't get anything done. I mean, back me up here, Moo.
He's not scary.
No, I'm not.
Oh, wait, that's the wrong thing. No, definitely. Wait, yeah. Negative and positive reinforcement. You know, one of the things that was always taught to me is, you know, praise in public, criticize in private. So if you have somebody, you know, one person that's not doing what they're supposed to be doing, pull it into whispers. Say, hey, try to stay out of this. Try to avoid this. Whatever they're doing wrong, you know, do that in private as best you can. If it's the entire team that's, you know, repeatedly, then yeah, obviously you're just going to, hey, we need to fix this. You know, not you guys, not, you know, the DPS, we need to fix this problem because, you know, it could be as something simple as, okay, well, the DPS are standing here, but maybe it's because the tank positioned wrong. So, you know, there's any number of things, but if it's definitely multiple people, then you can do that in a public setting, but it's a we, always we. Don't yeah, single
not you
people
guys.
Out. Yeah. Because again, you're not above this. You're not above making mistakes yourself. But if it's one person, then yeah, definitely take it to whispers, you know, pull them to a different chat during break, whatever.
That actually brings up a very interesting point that I forgot to include on the show notes on here. When it comes to your raid team, everybody is replaceable. Every single person. I love people. Don't get me wrong. But you're not special snowflakes when it comes to raiding.
I am.
No, you're not.
I'm special snowflake, just not, you know, irreplaceable.
Nobody is a special snowflake when it comes to, you know, a spot on the team. It's just, it's not the case. If I need a tank, I can find a tank. There are tons and tons of tanks right now.
Oh, yeah, that blows my mind. I don't understand this.
And honestly, if I had to choose between having a bad healer and dealing with them for 4 hours versus not raiding, personally, I would not raid. Yeah. I would much rather not raid than deal with a shitty player for 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah, because you know, honestly, that one player could be the cause of your wipes, and you know, beating your face against the same wall just gives you a headache.
It does. It does. And people remember that. They're more likely to remember a bad experience than they are a good one. Unless the good one is just so astonishing that it just exceeds everything. Like you have that one tank who lasted for the last 20% of Thok while the rest of his raid was dead, and he still managed to kill the boss. Cough, cough, Ursangus.
I think a lot of bears pulled that one off.
Yeah, I think so. I know one of our buddies, Core, I think he soloed Thok back in the day, didn't he?
I believe so, yeah.
And I know, Vars.
I know I pulled something like that off also. So,
mm-hmm. But you remember it.
Oh, yeah.
And honestly, I remember spending a lot of time in Siege of Orgrimmar, as does everybody.
Yeah.
Just wiping and wiping and wiping and Garrosh.
Shamans.
Yeah, Shamans was another big one. Now, Vars did solo tank that one. I don't know how, but he did it. Anyway, so what are we sitting on? Negative versus positive reinforcement. If your raid team is all business, then by all means, if you feel like you could get more, if you feel like you could get more accomplished by being kind of a dick and yelling at people and berating them, that's fine. But don't act surprised when some of them leave. That's really what it boils down to. If you're going to be a dick to people, they don't have to hang around. It's their $15 a month.
Right. Just because you join a raid team doesn't mean that's your home for life.
Very true. Very true.
And on that note, you know, just because you create a raid team doesn't mean you have to stay there. Also, if the team decides to go a different route than what you wanted, you can leave too.
That's very true. The team does not die with your vacation, or vacating, I should say. So really, negative versus positive, you're going to know your raid team, hopefully. You're not just putting together an entirely brand new team from scratch every week. Hopefully you will know your raid team enough to know whether or not they will respond to positive or negative reinforcement better. So really, all right, so you've got your team together. You've got the resources. You got 6 bosses down. That 7th boss you've been sitting on for an hour and a half now, and you just can't get it done. What are your options at this point? Well, you've got another hour left in raid. That's 2.5 hours total you're spending on this one boss. You've got an hour left in raid. What are your options? Well, you could go to another boss. I know in Hellfire Citadel, there are different paths you can go through to eventually reach Archimonde. Or, and not enough raid leads, in my opinion, actually use this, end the raid on a good note. Especially if you're coming up to a boss that you're pretty sure you can't take down with this current team or raid comp or item level. Say, listen, guys, we just don't have it in us to do this next boss and do it well. Why don't we end on a positive note and just kind of hang out and mumble or whatever, just run some dungeons, just kind of chill with each other for a little while. That is a good raid building, or it's good team building, and it doesn't stress people out. Now, if they want, then honestly, if your raid team's running one day a week, that still leaves them the option to, maybe they can pick up a pug later on in the week. It's a possibility. Ending on a bad note where you wiped on a boss for 30 plus times, you're probably going to have issues. And if that's a consistent thing where you're ending on a wipe and not a good wipe, just a wipe for stupid reasons, you might want to reconsider, maybe 1 week in the raid 45 minutes early. Said, all right, guys, I know we're supposed to raid for the next 45 minutes, but we're just not getting it. So everybody just kind of chill, take a breather. We'll just call the raid early and we'll come back next week and kick the shit out of this guy.
Yeah, and that can actually be done or cross over into deciding whether to do a fresh run or an extended run. Mm-hmm. One of the things I've seen is raids feel the need to start fresh every week. Well, that kind of gets monotonous, kind of gets boring, especially once you've got certain bosses on farm to a point where a lot of people aren't even thinking about them anymore. Mm-hmm. And, a lot of the people don't need the gear off of there. So you take that into account, then maybe, okay, so you farm every week. You've got the first 4 bosses on farm. No problem. You can get those done in less than an hour. Okay. So now you've hit boss 5. That's a wall for you. You can't quite get it. You're getting the mechanics, but there's just something that's not sitting right. So the next week, instead of starting fresh all over again, go ahead and start it on that progression where everybody is already fresh. They're raring to go. They're paying attention. Everything's, their minds aren't blanked and numbed from the bosses they've killed a dozen, half dozen times. Mm-hmm. And that might be the push you need to get that boss down.
Right. And honestly, at that point, the beautiful thing about extending raid lockouts is you can reverse mm-hmm. the extension. If you're fresh and you're still not getting that last boss, your progression boss, you can reverse the extension because you're not saved anything at that point.
That's right. So then you can go back and kill stuff and positively.
Yeah. Yeah. Get more gear. Get more. Honestly, if you've got that kind of shaky mage, which is usually a mage, who's just not quite, he doesn't quite have his rotation down. Without having to deal with progression, he's going to deal with bosses he knows, and he'll have more time to work on his rotation. And these are not necessarily mages, but this is something you need to keep in mind, is practice makes perfect. I know it's kind of corny to say it, but it's true.
Yes. You've heard us talk about muscle memory. Well, how do you think you get that? Repetition.
Yeah. Repetition. Honestly, you don't have to tell any of my former raid members this, but there have been times where I can not look at my monitor at all. Especially on Burning Crusade and some of the Lich King raid bosses. I've got one hand on the keyboard hitting my skills, and I'm listening to DBM count down its stuff. And I'm not even looking at World of Warcraft at all. It's that simple. You can hear it coming. You know it's coming. And if anything screws up, somebody's bound to tell you in Ventrilo or Mumble.
Yeah.
Now, is that great as far as attention goes? No. But I also wasn't raid leading at the time.
Yeah. Yeah, raid leaders can't quite get away with that.
Not quite. Not quite. Depending on how pro or rookie your your raid team is. So, really, that's what it boils down to. So, ending on a good note, very important. Being able to recognize when you need to end on a good note, even more important. So, keep an eye out. Now, onto a topic that has come up a lot lately. And we're going to have a very small opinion on this a little bit later on as we go through news. Poaching. Poaching is when you actively look for people off of another raid team. As a raid leader, that's probably not the good way to build a good team. I understand if you're looking for new talent. I get it. Especially if you're just that one solid DPS short. Advertise that you're recruiting for DPS. Don't poach. It's so disrespectful to the other raid leader. Now, if they come to you, if this other player comes to you from another raid team and says, I want to join your team, just not having a good time on my other team, by all means, you could probably pick them up without a problem. But don't actively look for people from other teams. Because now you're cutting an asset from that other team and making promises about your raid team versus the current raid team they're on. Come on, really? You're effectively stealing at that point. Am I off on this one, Moo? And am I the only one who thinks of this opinion?
No, not at all. Definitely, it's one of those topics that everybody will see it a different way. But ultimately, it leads to the same thing. You know, if you're able, you can look at it this way too. If you are able to entice somebody away from their raid team, like actively go, hey, I know you're on this team, but why don't you come over here instead? Well, if they're coming over to you, that shows that they don't have loyalty to their raid team. So do you really want somebody like that on your team who will either not do what's required of them, or will just end up leaving you, you know, for another team at the, you know, who says, hey, why don't you come over here?
Honestly, part of this could be if you were able to entice somebody from another raid team easily, then, and I forgot to add this to the show notes too, then tryouts are very important because that other person you're running across, maybe you raided with them before, maybe you know they're a solid raider. But if you don't, the reason that other raid team may be failing is because of the person you just poached or picked up or whatever. For whatever reason, they're on your team now. They may be the reason that other raid team failed. So you need to really be careful when you're picking up people who are on a current raid team roster, or at least on the same tune. I mean, if you're talking about the picking up the player, there's nothing that says they can't be on two raid teams at the same time.
I'm glad about that because otherwise I'd be in some serious trouble.
Yeah. I think we'd both be in trouble quite a few times over.
Yeah.
Poaching is honestly more or less just a courtesy violation more than anything else, at least in my eyes. If you're clear with the other raid leader that said, hey, they applied and they kind of want to move over here, the other raid leader goes, okay, that's not poaching. And I honestly, me as a raid leader, I would question it that immediately said, why were they so willing to let that person go? So watch for red flags. If you're doing your due diligence as far as overseeing the rain, those red flags will immediately pop up and you'll start questioning things that you didn't think were important before. That's all I'm going to say about poaching. Do you have anything else to add, Moo?
No.
Okay. There's a whole long on the forums for, oh, that's right. We haven't told them what guild we're in yet, have we?
We haven't officially come out and said it, but I'm sure most people that listen already know.
Yeah. So I'll go ahead and we'll just go ahead and blast it out there right now anyway. My name is Ursangus. I am an officer in the Converter Raid Guild on AREPQS. I am actually in charge of all the people who do all the inviting and minor problem resolution. I've been an officer there for about a year now, and I talked to Jewel Scott, Pat Crane, a couple other people, as well as Navox. There are a lot of officers in CTR. I am probably one of the most visible officers in the day-to-day. When it comes to decision, probably not so much. But Moo here is kind of an officer.
You can call it a junior officer. How's that?
Yeah, there we go. So Moo is more or less, when it comes to things involving, you know, the people I'm in charge of, Moo is my second in command. And a friend, of course.
Aw, thanks.
Aw.
Hug moment. So, no, not really.
So when it comes to convert to raid, and I forgot where we were going with this point here.
Forum post on poaching.
Oh, forum post on poaching. Thank you. There is actually a long forum post in the Convert to Raid forums about poaching. And I think Pat wrote it. And it's a beast of a read. Because we did deal with this program internally at one point, or this problem internally at one point, where one CTR raid team was poaching from another CTR raid team. And me as an officer is going, please don't make me put on my officer pants today, guys. I really don't want to wear pants today. But it turned out to be a thing, and Pat had to step in, and it was not pretty. So anyway, there are all sorts of resources out there as far as finding new members for your raid team. Poaching, I don't feel, should ever really be a choice. Maybe we need to go into that a little bit further in a later episode, maybe kind of get some clarification on it later. But I'm done for right now.
I'm sure it'll come up again.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. If people are actually listening to this podcast and listening actively, they should be sending us questions.
Not just one person, which, you know, we do have questions, but they all came from one person.
Yeah. Yeah. We have no problem with this particular individual. He's great. He does some really weird recording stuff from time to time. we have to be grateful for his questions, which we'll cover one of them here in a minute.
Yes.
So last thing we got, and we've kind of gone over this a little bit already, external raid politics. This is honestly bringing personal drama to the raid. If you've had a bad day and don't feel like talking to anybody or really interacting with anybody at all, don't come to raid. If you feel like you're going to bring baggage to the raid, unless you're raiding with 10 or 15 of your closest friends and you can talk freely about that with them, you have to be really mindful of personal drama entering the raid. Now, as a raid leader, this is kind of going to call back to controlling raid member input. If you're in the middle of a boss pull and somebody starts bringing up personal drama, probably not the best time to bring that up. And talking about it, while it may not necessarily be discouraged, maybe we need to delay it until after the raid.
Yeah, you could just interrupt, you know, hey, can we talk about that after this pull, or, you know, wait until the boss pull, something, just kind of deflect it a little bit, and then you can bring it up later. Hey, this is not the time or place to talk about this. We can stick and mumble after the raid, and you can vent all you want about whatever your problem is. Mm-hmm. But yeah, definitely not during a boss pool. That's bad, bad idea.
That's bad juju is what that is. Now, the one thing you don't want to do, and I've done this myself a couple different times, and it has never ended well, don't just tell them to shut up. that's if they're bringing personal drama to the raid, it's obviously important to them. Even though it might be the most trivial thing in the world, it is important to them. Telling them to shut up and being confrontational about it in the middle of a public forum, you are going to lose some ruse. You're going to lose raid members in record time. That pretty much tells your raid members that I don't care about you and what you are outside of this team.
Yeah, that's also going to open yourself up to even more drama. Mm-hmm. Even if they don't leave, even if people don't leave, you know, someone, I don't like being told to shut up. And my first reaction is, who the hell do you think you are trying to tell me to stop talking?
Yep.
You know, so that's going to open up even more confrontation. And that's kind of what you try. I don't want to say you want to avoid, but you want to redirect.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't shut it down entirely, because again, this is something that's important to them. And something I preach to the officers that, you know, we're in charge of and convert to raid is don't confront, redirect. And it works incredibly well. Where you say, hey, listen, I know you're having a tough time with this. Do you want to talk about this in whispers, or do you want to take this to a separate channel and mumble? Or, hey, you know, I'm willing to listen to you until, you know, after we're done with this raid, I'll listen to you. It works. It doesn't work every time. I'm not going to lie. It does not work every time. But the success rate of it is phenomenally high. What you need to train yourself in as a raid leader is when to recognize that is coming about and how to best handle it when it does. If you are a good raid leader, an effective raid leader, you will have had some experience in leading something before. Or if you're just getting into it, you're listening to this podcast to find out how to be an effective raid leader. Recognition is one of the key things you're going to be required to do. And we talked about this, I think it was last episode, about situational awareness.
Yep.
As a raid leader, you need to have the highest level of situational awareness. And I think we've all been part of a raid where somebody starts yelling at somebody else and the entire raid goes just a dead quiet. And it's the most awkward thing in the world.
What makes it makes it even worse sometimes is when the raid leader is the one that's extra quiet. It's like, well, aren't you going to do something? You know, intervene some way, somehow. That's kind of your job too. You know, if two people are getting at it, you need to shut it down some way.
And yeah, in some cases, you might need to grab some ears and pull them into another channel and said, I've had that conversation with raid members before, and it is not a pretty one. It is not an easy one in the least, because you're effectively taking them out of the spotlight. And you know how if you misbehaved as a kid, or I see this, I recognize it more as an adult now. If you're in a grocery store and you see a mother dragging their whining child out of the grocery store into the parking lot, I'm pretty sure I know what's going to happen next. Like, I see a spanking on the way for that kid. If your parent drags you out of the grocery store kicking and screaming, do you think they're happy about that? As a raid leader, you don't have to be happy about that. You don't. Now, you could go overboard when you're taking your screaming children out to the car.
Seen that a lot.
Yep. Yep. And you have to be mindful of that. Keep it when you're coaching. when you're talking to these raid members about a situation that came up, you need to remain very neutral and be professional about it. Be business about it.
You know, on that note, let me ask you this. What would you say the best way to handle if you are the subject of said problem?
if you're taken into a, if your raid leader pulls you aside.
Well, no, I mean, as the raid leader, you are the subject of the problem.
You fucked up somewhere. If you are the subject of why, if you're one of your raid members pulls you aside to talk, basically to talk at you, you drop the ball somewhere. And honestly, okay, if a raid member pulls you aside and you don't know why, really, I feel like I'm going to repeat myself here, but you don't know why. They might be telling you that they're going to go on vacation or something like that. But if you get pulled in a situation where you're a raid leader and it's bad news, you need to be open to it. You absolutely need to be open to criticism on this. Now, there is constructive criticism and there's destructive criticism. The fact that they pulled you aside means that they have an opinion. And as a raid lead, I hate saying this. I really hate saying this because there are some bullshit opinions out there. But as a raid leader, you need to value your raid members' opinions. And I think we went back to this again. I seem to go back to this. Raid member input is important. You need to have a checks and balances in place for this.
I think that's one of the key places where having an assistant is big, because they can be your check valve. They are the intermediate, basically.
Right. So part of the qualifications is that you're going to already know your class and you're going to already know the fights. That does not make you perfect. You may strut like a madman, and I do. I know I strut. When I raid, I strut like a mad mother. And who knows this too?
Mainly because I do it too.
But you are not perfect. And we're going to go back to you are not a special snowflake. Now, in some ways you are special. If you were able to successfully found and run a raid team of whatever number of people, you have a skill that not everybody has. And you need to work to develop that. And you will never know everything about about leading a raid team. To think that you know everything about everything, you're eventually going to be proven wrong, and it's going to hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So be aware, self-criticize yourself, self-analyze yourself, and say, how could have I approached that differently? Even when the outcome was good, how could I have approached that differently to make the outcome even better? Be aware of what you say. Be aware of how you act and how people perceive you. And I think we mentioned in one of our previous episodes to be very aware of how others perceive you. It's going to make your time easier.
Yeah. And just remember, you know, raid leader, you are in the spotlight. Everybody is going to be looking at what you're doing. Everybody's going to be looking at how you handle it. You are going to be the reason, 9 times out of 10, why the raid team stays together, works well, or collapses.
That's your job. Really. You are a raid lead. You signed up for this. I don't know many raid leads that get paid for what they do. In fact, I don't know of any.
I'm open to that position, though, if anybody's
hiring.
As
am I. That sounds fucking awesome. You signed up for this. It is probably one of the best feelings in the world when you can lead a team to success.
Mm-hmm.
And you have just that perfect moment where everybody got together. They did exactly what they're supposed to. And instead of, you know, getting 3 seconds away from that enrage timer, you kill the boss 2 minutes ahead of the enrage timer. And you reel back and you go, I had a hand in this. Mm-hmm. I got this team together to kill this. And it's honestly one of the best feelings you can have, at least in World of Warcraft. And outside of that too, if you've got a deadline coming up and you put together a team and you got this perfectly shiny product and it's done a week ahead of time, there's no other feeling like it.
Once again, this is a case of stuff that we cover here can be applied elsewhere, not mm-hmm. just World of Warcraft.
Yeah, so we say raid leaders. What we really mean is leaders.
Yeah.
So everything we're talking about here, you can apply elsewhere. If you want to be the lead of any kind of project, you can take a lot of this and take it outside of this, outside of World of Warcraft. So I think we've covered pretty much everything as far as raid leaders go anyway.
Everything that we want to put in here that won't last us 3 hours.
That's very true.
There are so many other avenues that we can cover. And if you have a question about something that we did not cover, please let us know. We will be more than happy to go back and answer it for you.
Absolutely. We are not all-knowing. We are not omniscient.
No.
Well, I'm omniscient on the toilet sometimes. But, only after a heavy diet of curry.
You know, if we don't know something, we'll tell you, and then we'll tell you who does know this, or we'll talk to whoever it is and get the answer for you.
So. Yeah, part of it, and this shocks the hell out of me, I didn't even realize I was doing it, but part of what I've been doing for the last 2 or 3 years is networking.
Yeah.
Who knew? I had no idea that I was getting in touch with so many very awesome people, and just now I'm starting to realize it, and it's coming in fantastically handy.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know what I haven't covered, if that makes any sense. I don't know what I don't know. So if you have any questions, Moo's absolutely right. Send them in to us. If you have any topics you feel we should have covered for raid leads specifically, tweet at us. Give us all that. So I think we're about done with that topic. I do want to cover one other thing here real fast. We did receive a lot of questions from Jack of Skulls on Twitter. One honestly stuck out to me very clearly, and I want to kind of give my opinion on this. Jack of Skulls says, how do you handle players who came back from the end of an expansion, lol, after you have recruited people for their spot? Moo, do you want to give your opinion on this one before I blow the roof off?
Honestly, treat them like anybody else. They took a break for whatever reason. Whether it be they had personal reasons or they just got burned out. Now they're coming back. Well, guess what? We're not holding that spot for you because we have no idea when you're coming back. So it's already filled. You want to come back? We have room for you. You still got to apply. Got to try out because you may be really, really rusty.
Yep. Honestly, I think going back to nobody in a member of a raid is a special snowflake. I think my opinion on this would be pretty clear. If you leave the raid team, be it you left World of Warcraft or you leave the team, period, and you don't run across this in employment as well, just because you don't want to do your job anymore for whatever reason, you're not doing your job anymore. Do you think you can just walk back into your job and get that same position back? Probably not. So coming at a raid leader and expecting to get your same spot back. I know as a raid leader, I've had some very violent reactions to that. And coming at your raid leader entitled to that spot, I don't respond well to entitlement. I never have. If you're going to come at me like you're entitled to that spot that I recruited somebody else for, I'm going to tell you to go fuck yourself. Now, I'll let you try out. But if you think that your spot is your spot, you're going to find out just how wrong you are in a very short amount of time. But that's me. Maybe you have a better way of dealing with it. But when it comes to people coming back and asking for their spot, Moo said it right. You got to try out. So anyway, Moo, do you have anything else to add?
To that? No. No, that's okay. Pretty much a cut and dry thing, in my opinion.
So the big news in World of Warcraft this week has been the split up of Method. If you don't know who Method is, they're usually in the top five as far as, you know, world first kills. Method kind of broke apart, and I really only have this to add as far as this goes. You, as a player, if you're listening to this podcast, are probably not a part of Method. That being said, all you're doing about why Method split up or why so-and-so left, all you're doing at that point is speculating. That's all. All you can do is speculate. So does your opinion really matter when it comes to Method? Probably not.
A lot of the people that left have already come out and stated too why they decided to split off. Take that as it is. That's why they said, you know, they want to split. You know, don't try to read into it because there's probably not anything to read into.
No.
As for what's going to happen with that race to World First, all I can say is we'll have to wait for the next expansion. I mean, there's no telling what could happen. They could, you know, find better people and just blow everybody away. You know, a new team that we've never heard of before can come up and just take it all. There's no telling. Just be patient.
Chill. You're not in that team. Chill out. So anyway, that's honestly, that's all I had for everything. We want to thank you. Especially thank you to Jacob Scholes for overwhelming our Twitter account with questions. We need more people to do that.
Yes.
They were fun to read, even though they didn't all make it to this particular podcast. Moo, how did they get a hold of you?
Well, you can find me on Twitter at Moodala, MOODAHLA. You can actually find me on Twitch, too. I've taken to start streaming the raids I'm in, so you can come, point and laugh, and watch the silly bear dance. That's going to be twitch.tv/Moodala.
And you can find me on Twitter as well. I am at Ursangus. That's URSANGUS. You can also find me in the Convert to Raid Guild on Airy Peak US, /join CTRLFO and scream. Somebody will probably eventually get you to me. Can also find me on Twitch occasionally, also underneath Ursangus. If you're screaming in the LFO channel, I should mention here that if you don't get a hold of me, you'll probably end up talking to Moo. Because that's how we roll. And you can also reach us, reach the podcast itself. And Twitter is at BattleResBears. It's all one word. And the email as well, BattleResBears@gmail.com.
And that's Res with a Z.
That is Res with a Z. Who spells it with an S? Nobody
Some
I know.
People, yeah. Some people, yeah. I don't know.
Weird people. So really, guys, that's all we had for today. Thank you so much for listening, and have a great day.
Have a good one.